Hello and welcome to Versations with the Sass. I am so excited. People might say you're always excited, but it's a wonderful time to be alive. Like, regardless of all the, you know, dark news that we've been beclouded with recently, but you know, we cannot just but imbibe the joy of the Lord and imbibe the happiness, you know, around us. And I happen to be one person who gets easily happy, and I am happy not only because of my day or anything, but because it's another chance, it's another opportunity, it's another privilege to get to talk to you again on Be With Hope. I don't know where I got that from, but yeah, Versations with the Sass. And today I'm excited with my topic, as always. And today we're going to be talking about, drum rolls please, the art of making mistakes. Yeah, the art of making mistakes. I believe there's an art to making mistakes. I believe that sometimes mistakes can be done with finesse. I know someone's like, I told you we were not supposed to listen to this girl. Now listen, see what's going on right now. But hold your horses, okay? Now, I believe there's an art, there's a system, there's a way that you make mistakes that could either break or make you. And let me give you this quick example. So a couple of days ago, my younger brother, we were talking on the phone, and I just jokingly asked him, why is your voice sounding so sober? And he was like, he made an error, and it cost him, you know, his peace of mind, because not only are they, you know, annoyed with him and be like, I told you to get this, and you went to go and get this, because he said he assumed wrongly. He was also going through the inner turmoil of, I should have known better, I should have done this. And I was like, you know what, see, coming from me, because I have made mistakes a long time. Like, if you want to learn, like, you want me to teach you, like, how to, you know, get up from mistakes and all, like, I'm your girl. Like, we could work this together, you know. And I was, you know, talking to him and being like, okay, do you know what? Like, this is a mistake, right? You didn't do it intentionally. Of course, you shouldn't have assumed and all. And I told him, do you know what? Just pick the pieces of your life, forgive yourself, and move on. And then over the course before this podcast, I was also experiencing different levels of things that I ought to have done well, but I didn't do well, or did not do my homework, or forgot. Now this one is really weird. I was told, when your mind tells you, just don't do it like that, and I'm like, I'm gonna do it later, and then it blows up in your face, making it a mistake, and you get to start, you know, flogging yourself about it. I should have done this, or I should have done that. When you're doing that, time is really going away. Time is like telling you, okay, you're still stuck there, okay, I've gone. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that I was able to calm my younger brother down. I was able to tell him, don't beat yourself up. This is, you know, just chill, because I have been in the shoes of making mistakes before, where you literally want the ground to open. Like, you know, this mistake just is going to be off for another day. I'll make sure I make a journal out of it, because it's going to be called the mistake journey. Like, at every junction, sometimes there are times when you literally just remember one mistake and you're like, how did I do that? Like, what was I thinking? If I remember one right now, and I'm thinking to myself, how could you have done? Like, are you thinking? But here's the catch. It is done, it's done. You've done it, and it's time to move on from it. And that is what I call the art of making a mistake. Now, here I am again with my questions. So bear with me, because we are going to be, you answer yours in your head while I say my own out, as usual. Now, my own question, without, you know, going down into too many junctions, is to ask, with all I've said, do you believe that there is an art to making mistakes? Do you think that, okay, mistakes are just, you know, what they are? There isn't really an art. There isn't really a journey. There isn't really, you know, a pattern towards these things. Of course, you might be like, maybe there isn't. But coming from me, like I've said before, it is an art, actually. I feel there's an art because it's like it follows a pattern, the making of the mistake and what you do after the mistake has been made. Now, the problem is not really the mistake. The problem actually is what you do after the mistake. The way you handle the mistake that has been made determines if, one, that mistake would multiply into several, you know, millions of bubbles of other mistakes, or it would just, you know, be zipped back, or just, you know, stitched back, or just erased completely. So what you do immediately that mistake is made, it's very, very important. Very, very important, you know. Now, I believe that the art of mistake is that it is in your nature to make mistakes, to get things wrong, to assume wrongly. Like, now, today you must have assumed so many things. Like, oh, okay, I assume it will not rain, and it did rain. I assume it will be sunny. It wasn't sunny. I assume so many things. Our lives, our daily lives, are based on so many assumptions. No matter how serious and no matter how little, you find yourself assuming certain things. Now, the thing is, have you ever made a mistake? I thought someone's gonna be like, oh, come on, really? Really? Is this what we're gonna be doing today? Yes, like, you really need to ask yourself that question. Have you ever made a mistake? Let's know if you're gonna be the perfect person right here. If we're gonna, you know, come and worship at your feet because, you know, you're gonna be the perfect person, let us know. So, have you made a mistake? You know, and if you have, like, I have, like, don't get it to say this, I have made mistakes. Oh Lord, like, if you have made mistakes, like, I have. Now, my next question is this: how did you feel about the mistake? Like I said earlier, I have made mistakes that I literally wanted the ground to open up and swallow me. I was like, how on earth could I have made this mistake? Like, what was going on in my head? I have insulted myself, you know, even wrote some things about myself. I'm like, I can't believe this. And then it's done already. Like, I can't go back and undo the mistake. It's impossible. And so my question is, what did you do about it? That question is for you to answer. Remember one of your most hilarious mistakes ever and think about how you felt about it. Now, another question is, did you learn anything from it? Did you learn anything from your mistake? Were you like, oh my God, okay, I'm never going past that road again, or I'm never trusting this person again, or, you know, there's certain levels, no matter how conscious or unconsciously you might have made the instant decision, it's still a reaction. It is a reaction based on the mistake, and a reaction that leads to a decision to never encounter such a thing again. Okay, so that is also your answer. So, did you learn anything from it? What did you do about the mistake? How did you feel about the mistake? Have you ever made a mistake? So, these are questions that you can ask yourself. Now, let's get in the word and let's see how this all plays out. Now, as regards how you react to your mistakes and what the effects of your mistake is, we can look at Mark chapter 4, 14 to 19. Now, that part just basically talks about, it gives an analogy to the receipts and the aftermath of the receival of God's word into our heart. Remember that story about how a sower came through seeds and the floors, you know, went to this corner, and that corner. That is how our hearts are. Some of us believe that once we know God and we have accepted Christ into our lives as our personal Lord and Savior, we are forever pure. We are perfect. We no more have the nasty characters. We no more have that habit to want to get out of. We are totally perfect. We have no issues with our lives. We have accepted Christ, and so we have been called forth. I hate to burst your bubble, but that's a very big lie. So what am I trying to say here is this: we think that because we have Christ has come into our lives. We are no more, you know, we are no more into those things we used to be in. We, you know, well, I'm sorry, mommy and daddy dupe, it doesn't work that way, okay? You have to walk your salvation in fear and trembling. Once saved, forever saved is not true. With every time that, with how long ago you have been saved, if it was yesterday, today, or last night, you still need to walk your salvation with fear and trembling. So, when you accept Christ, you're not safe. The saving, it does not just come onto you like a toga. You have to keep on working at it with fear and trembling. You have to keep on working on it, offering yourself daily as a living sacrifice to God, offering yourself daily and, you know, over and over and over and over again. Also, you have to understand that your reaction to your mistake is hinged on the conditions of your heart. Now forget, oh, I have accepted the Christ, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Yes, amen, amen. Yes, oh yes. But you have to understand something, that everything you do is hinged on the conditions of your heart. Some of us have accepted Christ, but our hearts are not hinged on Christ. We are not anchored on Christ. We are anchored on the toga, on the title of being a Christian, but not on the acceptance, the total acceptance of Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So please follow me here. Your reaction to your mistake is hinged on the conditions of your heart. Now let's see this conditions. Now one, now the passage of the Bible passage says that some of the seeds were thrown along the path and they were susceptible to the enemy stealing it from them. Some of us have gotten the word. Some of us have accepted Christ. But along the line, we don't even know where we got it all wrong. We don't know. Like maybe, you know, Kiki came and got on your nerves and you're like, do you know what? How are my earrings? And then you get into it, or you make that mistake of reacting badly, or you make that mistake of taking the wrong decision, taking the wrong turn. And then your heart was... The reason is you made that mistake is because your heart was hinged on the wrong foundation. Your heart was still along the path. You're still not sold out for Jesus. Your heart is still along the path. And so when the word of God is thrown, when you go to church on Sunday and the word of God is thrown, and or you hear a word or a message and the word of God is, you know, because the word of God is literally like seeds, and it is thrown along your way. It is thrown to the congregation or whatever online service you've been watching. It's been thrown over the internet, the waves. It gets into your heart. It gets into your path. However, it is stolen immediately from you. So that's why when you make a mistake and you find yourself, you're not even, it's like you've not been reading the Bible. It's like, am I even a Christian at all? Why did I make this mistake? It's because your heart has not been conditioned to totally develop yourself as regards the word and how it bears fruit in your life. Secondly, the sower also goes on and throws seeds and it falls on the rocky path. Now this people, the rocky path, they receive it gladly. Oh, amen. Word, mister, I feel you. Preach on. Yeah. When they reach out, that's the end. They can't remember one thing. Even the journal, you see them writing, yes, exactly, right on, pastor. Yeah. Oh my God, you are so on point. Yeah, let them reach out first. Ask them like how many things they said. They can't remember one thing. Or if they even remember, they're like, oh, do you know what, I'm gonna go back to my journal anyway. Like auntie's like, 2 months you have not gone back to that journal. And then when you make your mistake, when the act of mistake comes in, when that time where you've made a mistake comes in, you have nothing to hold on to. And let me point out something. The rocky heart, they receive it gladly, but the word of God does not sink deep. It doesn't last long. And when trouble comes, when persecution comes, when problem comes, when depression, confusion, when there is a waiting season involved, your root isn't sunk in deep because of the rocky heart, the condition of your heart at that point. Say, for example, the troubles, the persecution, the things that cause depression and confusion are the mistakes in question, you wouldn't know how to handle them. You would just give up and run around screaming. If you guys watch SpongeBob, you know how he cries. Like, he cries, you know, with his hands up in the air, and he's, you know, running all around in a circle. And that is how you will be, because your heart is not conditioned to receive the word of God. Why? Because you're not completely sold out. In fact, these conditions are the consequences of not being totally sold out to God. And so your heart is rocky when there's trouble as regards, or for example, you make this mistake and you interpret trouble like trouble with a, you know, triple capital letter T, you know, like there are different ladders on the T of the trouble, and you are suffering the consequences, persecution. You know, maybe they're like, how can you make this mistake? How old are you? Aren't you a Christian? How could a Christian as such as yourself make this kind of mistake? And then you're being lambasted because of the mistake that you have made. And then you can't even come back. You will give up because the word you have heard has not sunk in into your heart. And then you start saying things like, oh, I'm no good. What's the matter with me? Oh. Now, let me say something. Where you are is tough. You literally are, you know, angry with yourself, annoyed with yourself. You're going on. You're like a train spiraling out of control. You're going on and on and on. Also, let's look at another condition of the heart. We're looking at the heart that is among the thorn bushes. This, I believe, is where majority of us fall in. Like, this thorn bushes, the sower throws the seed and it goes into the thorn bushes. The thorn bushes, now the word cannot grow because, do you know why? Some things are choking the word of God. What are they? They are worries, comparisons. They are, you know, things, emotional baggages that we are holding on to ourselves. Those things. Now, these thorn bushes, it doesn't mean that the word of God is not growing. It is getting choked up. It is getting dehydrated. It is getting washed out. It is getting, you know, out of context in our lives, because we are allowing the things that we see to counter the word of God in our hearts. That's why there's a prayer that says, may I not finish by sight what I started by faith. And so when you begin to finish by sight what you started by faith, you begin to allow what your optical eyes are seeing to corrode the faith that you have in Jesus. And so when you make any mistake, as harmless as it may be, you would not know how to get out of it, because once you make the mistake, this person doesn't do like this, so look at me now. Look at how that person, and she always does her work. Look at me. How will I come back again? How will I, you know, boost my confidence now? And not only that, you will worry, you will compare yourself, you will insult yourself, you will load yourself and get yourself into problems as regards of the words that come out of your mouth. And then let's go to the last one. Now, this is what we're all trying to attain. Oh my God. The one that is hinged on the word of God. Like, nothing can, you know, bring you out of this. You are in it to win it, because your heart is a fertile ground. Your heart is everything that is gelled along with the word of God. You've got Jesus on the inside. So even if you make a mistake, you accept it, you pray over it, and you tell yourself, do you know what? I am more than a conqueror. I made this messy mistake. I made this messy, you know, I made a mess of the whole thing. But do you know what? As far as I know, I didn't do it intentionally. I will learn from my mistakes. I am taking full responsibility for my mistakes. And I know that this mistake doesn't define me. It progresses me. It teaches me. It is making me more than I ever thought I would be. It is bringing out the best in me, for it is when a grape is crushed that wine comes out. And so when I make this mistake, as I have made this mistake, it's not for me to go to one corner and be like, okay, fine, I won't talk again, I won't do this again. It's for me to say, do you know what? I am more than a conqueror. I am taking this as a challenge, owning up, apologizing genuinely, not faking it like, I'm sorry, like, I'm sorry. No, you have to be genuine about it and be like, oh, I'm sorry about this. I'm doing that. I'm doing that. I'm back your words and back your life up with scriptures that help boost your confidence and faith. And one I would like to tell you is, I like the way the Amplified puts it. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Like, you are enough. You are enough. So even if you make that mistake, you can put yourself up and say, you know what? I'm sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am more than capable. I am more than ready. I'm more than able, because God has got me on every side. Now, we've gotten to an all-time high. Let's come to the back of what I'm trying to tell you now. You know, we've spoken about three negative conditions of the heart. The one that is along the path, the one that is on the rock, and the one that is in the thorn bushes. Best believe it. For everyone you see who has the fourth condition of the heart, which is what you aspire to be, there is a chance that that person has one time in their life being in the situation of either of the third negative conditions of the heart. Whoever tells you, I accepted Christ and I never for once, you know, lost the word of God, I was, you know, steadfast all through, that person is a liar. Take it from me, that person is lying to you, you know. And because we all have the seasons, we all have that point in our lives when we just don't feel that things are going well, going as they should. And so you find yourself in either the rocky path, or you find yourself along the path, or you find yourself in the thorn bushes, because there are times you've worried, you've compared, you suffer persecution, you've been troubled. And then all this could be caused with maybe one bad decision or the other. Now, let me point out something. I'm not trying to glorify the fact that, oh, you must lose your head and make a mistake. No, I'm talking about when you've made the mistake. That after effect of the mistake, the mistake itself, the middle part is a reaction, and the end part is a decision. Between that mistake and the decision, a lot happens. And everything is hinged on Christ. Your reaction to the mistake that you have made that leads to the decision is hinged basically on how conditioned your heart is. If your heart is flaky, sorry, you will react in a way that is not of God. Of course, and then someone will be like, ah, this one you're mentioning mistakes. So, you know, there's a mistake that can cost people their jobs. I know, but you know, some people have lost their jobs as regards mistake that they made, and they still haven't learned from. They're still like, I was right, I'm right. They still do not understand the relevance of that mistake. And so I'd like to relate each of these conditions to our lives. Now, the path where the sower chose it can be regarded to as our lifestyle. Some of us, our lifestyle is still hinged on some things that, you know, are not hinged on Christ. We're still doing things, saying things, appearing in things, you know, partaking in things that are not of God. We are still, you know, holding on to those things that we are supposed to have given to God, and we are just, you know, just like taking it like, oh, it's my life. Today you're not a Christian, today, tomorrow you're a Christian, today, like, and it's a lifestyle. So when the word of God is totally thrown, it wouldn't even have any impact. The enemy would just come and just pick it and, you know, just kick it away. So that path that the sower throws the seed will not bear fruit, because it is still hinged on a lifestyle, on a life, on a surface, a foundation that is not of Christ. Now we're going to look at the rocky heart. The rocky heart is the shortest attention span. That's a rock, because whatever you get, you're happy for the minute, but after that you're like, okay, what did he say again? But you still do not get anything. So the rocky heart, the rocky condition, is where words are given to you. You have affirmations, you have confirmations, you have things spoken over your life, you have words of knowledge, prophecies over your lives, or your life, and they do not amount to anything, because you know why? You can't even remember half of them. You don't even tap into them, and so they are choked up. They don't even have anywhere. They're not even deeply rooted, and so it has no meaning
in your life. So when you go through any trouble, any situation, you can't say a word, because you know what? The attention you're supposed to have been paying to the words that would have been able to lift you from that situation, you're broke.
Anyways, and the next one is the thorn bushes. This regards your association.
Some of us are surrounded with thorn bushes. Like, when the word comes, you go tell your friend, oh, do you know that this is what this person said over my life? And the friend's like,
okay,
in COVID-19, so how is that going to be possible? How are you going to get that job? How are you going to get married? How is this? I don't understand. Please, let's just face our life, okay? Okay? Like, seriously, I don't even know what you're talking about. Your friends, your association can choke the word of God. Then your association can also lead you to have insecure attributes such as comparison, worrying unnecessarily. And all this can stop you from getting to that point that you need to.
That you deserve. And these things get you in an emotional imprisonment. Now, we could go down the path of how not to react, how to imbibe the word of God, how to apply them in your life. But then, let me mention one other thing. If you feel you can do this on your own, you're lying. You're lying. You need God. You need God all the way. You need Jesus all the way. Now, you could say that, oh, but Jesus is the word now. Yes, he is. But don't forget that fanatics are people who have totally twisted and contorted the presentation of the word of God in its purest form, thereby sidelining Jesus. We can see this in the life of Saul, who later became Paul. Hence, even in your mistakes, understand the message of John 15 verse 5 about how you can do absolutely nothing without him. Take a look at John 15 verse 5. You can do absolutely nothing without him because he is the vine and you are the branch. And that's why in all your ways, you must acknowledge him. In your mistakes, acknowledge him. In your errors, acknowledge him. That's not when to just, you know, be sad and think about, oh, I should have done this, I shouldn't have done this, and all. Apply Psalm 42 verse 5.
When immediately you get that, Father, oh, I've made this mistake, oh man, why did I do this? Apply Psalm 42 verse 5, where it says, why am I sad? Why am I troubled? I will put my hope once again in God, and I will praise him, for he is my God and my Savior. You will continue that over and over and over again, understanding that you cannot conquer yourself. You cannot help yourself. You need God.
Understand that where I'm coming from is not to glorify mistakes or be like, you own it, girl. You made a mistake. Yeah. Okay.
No. Where I'm coming from is this. We all have the tendencies to make mistakes. Big or small, medium, it doesn't matter. It goes by the collective name of mistake. A mistake is a mistake, whether it was done out of your recklessness, your carelessness, or it was done out of just pure ignorance, or whatever you call it. We still need to have the proper attitude to which we react to mistakes when they have happened. And that is why I totally believe that it is hinged on the word of God in our lives. If your heart is not conditioned to the word of God, if your heart is not a fertile ground, the way you react to mistake will increase will increase the problem that the mistake has caused.
So this is where I'm going to stop today. So next week we're going to continue this and get to know more and more about this issue of mistakes, the art of making mistakes, and how to react and what to do about it. Understand again once more that mistakes do not define who you are, but you can allow it define who you are when you do not react to it in the manner and with the method that has been prescribed in the Bible. How do I mean? Well, you have to come back next week to really find out. I am Osas. Thank you for joining me on the sessions with Osas. I'm still excited. We are still in the COVID, okay? So don't go out without your face mask, and make sure you understand and take notice and you know, take part in all the precautionary measures as to keep safe. Don't forget, your life is a blessing and you need to keep on saying it, because it was for you that Christ died. Thank you once more. Have a wonderful week. You are blessed.